Greetings, Christian friends. This is Dr. William R. Glaze coming to you with an update. We have been looking for 100 people to commit $25 a month for 1 year to support this program. We have had many people make that commitment, but we are still looking for others who want to partner with this ministry. If this program has been a blessing to you, would you prayerfully consider how you can help us? Remember, even if you cannot participate financially, prayer is always in order. Stay tuned, and our announcer will let you know how to contact us. God richly bless you.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. Today, Dr. Glaze will challenge us with, "The Lord is with us, rejoice." So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of "The Lord is with us, rejoice."
And I want to ask that you would turn to the book of Zephaniah. Now, some of you are going to have to maybe wet your fingers a little bit and unstick those pages. The book of Zephaniah, that's one of those Old Testament books that's tucked away back in the Old Testament. Zephaniah chapter 3. Zephaniah, chapter 3. We're looking at this whole idea of rejoice. And so in Zephaniah, chapter 3 and verse 17, it says, "The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing." Rejoice, the Lord is with us. Rejoice, the Lord is with us. The Lord is with us. Think about that for a moment. The Lord, your God, is with you. Now, that might not be very meaningful to many on first thought. And maybe it is because you take it for granted. You've been a Christian, and you know that the Lord is with you. You know that you can walk with him, talk with him, you can pray. But have you really meditate on what that means? I went online this morning, and I real quick did a little research, and I began to look at, and I had this little pamphlet too, so between the two, I began to look at the concept of God in certain religions. And many religions have the belief that God is impersonal, that he's some force that's way out there, and the only time he shows up is when we do something bad, so he can hit us upside the head. And so I looked at Christian Science, and what is it that they believe about God? They believe God is an impersonal principle. So he's not even, you know, a person. He's a principle of life, of truth, of love, intelligent, and spirit. That's not a God that's with me. That's not a God that I can walk with and talk with. That's not a God who comes and resides with me. Then the New Age philosophy, or the New Age religion, what is their concept of God? God is an impersonal force or principle. Again, much like in the movie Star Wars, where it says, "The force be with you." There's some kind of force that's out there in the universe, and you have to try to find a way to tap into it. But it's not a God who's right here with me. Then there is Islam, and they teach that Allah is one and absolutely unique, that he is one that you can't know Allah. Thank God that God, the God that we serve, that you can know him, that you can interact with him, that you can have a relationship with him. They said that human qualities like fatherhood cannot be attributed to Allah. And then there's Scientology, and that's been in the news a lot lately. And one of their concepts of God, or their concept, of God in Scientology, it says that there are eight dynamics that, you know, as a human being, you go and deal with eight dynamics. And the last dynamic, the eighth one, is infinity. And that is, when you get to that point, this dynamic, not a person, not somebody who loves you, not somebody who's come to be with you, but this dynamic, you can discover it and you can explore it. Thank God that we have a God that's with us. As I was doing some research, something caught my eye, and it said, you Christians hate your God so much that you murdered him. I said, wow. I said, I don't know what Bible they're reading. Who came up with that? But I wouldn't say that Christians hate their God so much that they murdered him. I would say God loved us so much that he died for us. Amen. Amen. We have a God who loves us so much that he died for us. Let's look at the notes this morning. And we want to give a little introduction to the book of Zephaniah. Zephaniah prophesied to the southern kingdom of Judah before it fell to the Babylonians. Now, you might remember that at one time when Saul became king, then David, and then Solomon, Israel was all one nation. And then there was, after Solomon died, there was a civil war, and they split just like America did in the north and the south. Well, the northern kingdom, they fell in about 721 B.C. The Assyrians came down and captured them and assimilated them into the Assyrian culture. So that's when they ceased to be a nation. But the southern kingdom of Judah still was alive and well. And so God realized that because of the idolatry and the disobedience of the northern kingdom that they fell, and he saw the southern kingdom going in the same direction. He sent Zephaniah and other prophets to preach, to get the people to turn to God, to forsake their idols, and to worship Yahweh. But we see, as we continue to read, that Zephaniah's name, it means that Yahweh hides or Yahweh protects. The major theme of the book of Zephaniah is the day of the Lord. And it's used six times in this book. This is three chapters in this book, very short book, three chapters, and six times in the three chapters, the phrase the day of the Lord is used. In the book of Zephaniah, the day of the Lord represented the judgment that was to come upon the people for their disobedience. So if you were to read the first 2.5 chapters, you would see that God was warning the people of judgment. He was letting them know that the day of the Lord is coming, and God is going to exercise his wrath because of the people's disobedience. But praise God, praise God. The book does not end with that, but it ends with the announcement of the coming kingdom of God. The main message to the people of Zephaniah's day was, seek ye the Lord, all ye meek of the earth, which have wrought his judgment. Seek righteousness and meekness, and you shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger. So God said in the midst of his judgment that he was going to send the blessings of his kingdom. Now we go to verse 17. See, we want you to get the context. I just don't want to jump into the verse and just start preaching from the verse, but let's get the context of the verse, all right? What is the context of verse 17 in the book of Zephaniah? After detailing the judgments upon Judah and the surrounding nations in chapter 1:1 through 3:8, Zephaniah prophesies about the coming millennial kingdom of Jesus Christ. So the last 11 verses or so, he describes this kingdom that's coming. In verses 9 through 13, he describes how God's people will be cleansed to serve and worship him. And then in verse 17, the prophet talks about the Lord who will be in the midst of his people and how he will love and rejoice over them with singing.
We would like to take a short break for a brief word from Dr. Glaze.
Greetings, radio friends. This is Dr. William R. Glaze,
And I'm coming to you to talk about a new book that I have just written. And the title of the book is Heaven, Answers for Today, Hope for Tomorrow. When it comes to heaven, many people rely on Hollywood or someone who said that they died, went to heaven, and came back to life with their description of what heaven is like. However, everything God wants us to know about heaven is revealed in His Word. In this book, I will give you biblical answers to questions about heaven that have burned in the hearts of people for generations. Questions such as, what is heaven like? Are my loved ones in heaven watching over me? Do we become angels when we go to heaven? These and many more questions are answered in this new book, Heaven, Answers for Today, Hope for Tomorrow. Stay tuned, and the announcer will let you know how you can get a copy of my new book, Heaven, Answers for Today, Hope for Tomorrow.
Welcome back. We will now return to today's message.
And so this is where we come to our sermon for today, because in this 17th verse, he talks about the Lord thy God is in the midst of thee is mighty, that God is near us, that he's not out there somewhere, but God is near us. If you look at your notes, it says the God who is near us during the millennial reign. And what is the millennial reign? The millennial reign is one day Jesus is coming back, and he's coming back to this earth. And during that reign, he's going to rule and reign on this earth for 1,000 years. And so our hearts long and yearn for that day when he comes and there's perfect peace on the earth, perfect righteousness. The lion and the lamb shall lay down together. The baby, the child shall pick up a snake and it won't harm him. What a wonderful day. What a wonderful day that's going to be. And so Zephaniah, he tells us about this coming day. During the millennial reign, there will be cause for rejoicing, because the Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. Even though God will be with us, with his people during the millennial in a special way, we have already seen a preview of this. The prophet Isaiah said, behold, the virgin shall conceive and shall bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. Now, Isaiah left it there. He just said Emmanuel. So we got to flip over into the pages of the New Testament when the angel of the Lord comes to Joseph, and he says basically the same thing, but he goes and expands on it a little bit. Notice what he says. The angel of the Lord gives us the meaning of the name Emmanuel when he said to Joseph, the earthly father of Jesus, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is in being interpreted, God with us. God with us. That Jesus came to be with us. This is what we call the incarnation, where he takes on flesh. And we celebrate it this time of the year. A little girl was afraid to go to sleep, and her dad came in the room and tried to calm her fears and trying to give her something that would maybe take care of the anxiety that she had. He said, now, darling, Jesus is with you. Thinking that that was going to take care of her, he went back into his bedroom, and next thing he knew, the little girl was standing at his bedside. And she said, Daddy, I know that Jesus is with me, but I need Jesus with some skin on him. And that's what Jesus did when he came to this earth. He took on flesh. He took on skin. He became God with us. And there is the name of God. We've been reflecting on the name of God a lot this morning. And one of the names of God is Jehovah Shammah. And that name, Jehovah Shammah, if you look at the notes again, and stay with me, because I'm getting some teaching in the way, then we're going to get into some preaching. There's some good preaching that comes out of the presence of God. the prophet Ezekiel. Again, he was just like Zephaniah. He explained the millennial. And if you go back and read the book of Ezekiel, chapter 40 through 48, he takes that whole time to explain about a temple that's going to be built during the millennial. And he comes to chapter 48 and verse 35, and he's talking about the city where the temple will be. And he says, and the name of the city from that day shall be, the Lord is there. The Lord is there. The Hebrew phrase for the Lord is there is Jehovah Shammah. And it means that the Lord will be present to literally govern and live among his people. Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there. So what does it mean that the Lord is with us? It means that I have somebody to walk with me and to talk with me. It means when you're lonely and all by yourself, that God is there for you to share your heart and your burdens with. When nobody else is around, that you can cry out to God, because Jehovah Shammah, the Lord who is present, he is in your life. He's not a God that's out there. You know, some people have a hard time believing that you can go through difficulties and that there's not a God, because if there was a God, he wouldn't let you go through the things that you go through. You know, you look at all the chaos that's in the world today. You know, people getting killed in Paris, planes getting shot down out of the sky. And people will say, if there was a God, how could he let something like that happen? And so they come up with different ideas of God. They come up with the idea that, well, God started things, and then he just went and he's sitting in the corner somewhere, you know, just watching stuff happen, and he's not intervening in the affairs of mankind. I don't need a God like that. I need a God that's up close and personal. I need a God that's going to be there when I call him. Like, he might not get me out of the fire, but I know he's going to be in the fire with me. That's the kind of God that I need. And so when we think about the fact that he is with us, you know, now let me back up for a second and say this. We know that God is omnipresent. You know, turn to Psalm 139. Psalm 139. We know that God is omnipresent. When we say omnipresent, that means that God is everywhere. Somebody explained omnipresence like this. God left himself where he was at to go with himself where he was going to meet himself where he was going to be. That's omnipresence. God is everywhere. David said, oh, search me and know me, O Lord. Thou knowest my down sitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. There is not a word in the tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thy hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain it. Whither shall I go to flee from the Spirit of the Lord? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in Sheol, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. God is omnipresent. He's everywhere. But you know, let me say this. There's a big difference between the omnipresence of God and the presence of God. Hear me. There's a big difference between the omnipresence, which means that God is everywhere, and the presence of God. Well, what's the difference? Omnipresence, he's everywhere. But presence, he's in the life of those who he has a covenant with in a special way. He is in their life, unlike he is in that unsaved person's life. Now, God might be aware of them, and his presence might be where they're at. But people who know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, that God has a special relationship with him. And that is the presence of the Lord. And I want to show you that today. And the first thing that we can say, because of the presence of the Lord in our life, we can say that we have a peaceful presence. That it's a presence that brings peace. That unlike his omnipresence, where I know that God is here, in this case, the presence of the Lord brings peace in my life. It's something in knowing that the Lord is there. That there's a peace that passes all understanding. Look at Psalm 46. Psalm 46, verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. The word very present means that he is there unlike anyone else. Your daddy might help you. Your mother might help you. Your friend might help you. But they're not a very present help. God is right there as soon as you begin to go through a situation. Therefore, will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with swelling thereof. Now, in this verse, or in these verses, the psalmist is giving us natural catastrophes. Look what he says. Though the earth be removed. What is that? That's an earthquake. What happens when there's earthquakes? The earth is removed. Though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. What is that? That's a volcano. Right? Eruption of a volcano goes across the land into the waters. Though the waters thereof roar and be troubled. What is that? A tsunami. Where, like an earthquake in the ocean, and then it comes up on the land and just wipes everything out. And finally, he talks about hurricanes. Though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. Now, what greater natural disasters can we see than these? These are some devastating things. Hurricanes, volcanoes, earthquakes, tsunamis. Just think of the chaos that comes as a result of that. Now, we're talking about, what are we talking about today? The presence of God. Oh, you didn't hear me. You didn't hear me. We're talking about the presence of God. Earthquakes, tsunamis, volcanoes, all these things going on around. The world is in utter chaos. You know, again, people getting killed, shooting down planes, beheading Christians. The world is in chaos. The world, look at these natural disasters that I'm saying natural disasters, but from a literal standpoint, a natural disaster, but, you know, we're dealing with the death of thousands of people. Can cause you to lose your mind. But he goes on to say, in the midst of all this, praise God, there is a river. The streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. Look at this. The presence of God. God is in the midst of her. His presence. With all these disasters going on.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for The Lord Saves. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's teaching, The Lord is with us, Rejoice, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request The Lord is with us, Rejoice. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request The Lord is with us, Rejoice. Or you can call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.